Now, as we come today to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we're coming to the last days in the earthly life of our Lord. And we find him now entering Jerusalem publicly. And he curses the fig tree, cleanses the temple, gives the discourse on faith, and silences his enemies who question his authority. Or, to put it in the division that I've given it here in our book on Mark, Jesus presents himself publicly to his nation as the Messiah. First 11 verses. Jesus pronounces a blight on the fig tree, verses 12 through 14. Jesus purifies the temple, verses 15 to 21. And then Jesus' prayer discourse, verses 22 to 26, and then Jesus perturbs the religious rulers, and verse 27 through 33. And actually, he did more than perturb them, but I didn't have another word that began with a P here to fit in with my alliteration. Now we have here in this 11th chapter, actually the 3 days that he came into Jerusalem. Many of you know from Matthew that we take the position that the so-called triumphal entry was not really that. It was the Lord Jesus now having come to Jerusalem in a public manner at the conclusion of his earthly ministry, why he presents himself. And actually it amounted to a rejection of his overture. And we find that he came in really for 3 separate days and not on just 1 day. And I think each gospel is presenting a different aspect of him coming into Jerusalem. And if many of you refer back to your book, Moving Through Matthew, you'll know that there, as in this one on Mark, we make that division. He came in first on Saturday, second on Sunday, and third on Monday. And now let's come to these last days of his earthly ministry. And I'm reading here at verse 1, chapter 11 of Mark. And when they come nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth 2 of his disciples. Now we see the Lord Jesus, I have noted that for the last few chapters, he's been moving geographically toward Jerusalem. And now he's moving geographically very close to his death. And he's also moving chronologically close to it. This is the last week of his earthly life. And Bethany and Bethphage, they are 2 little towns on the other side of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. I intended to walk over there and walk back myself, but I never got around to it the few days that I was in Jerusalem. If I ever go there again, I want to do that. Fact of the matter is, I want to spend more time walking through that land. It's one thing to get in a bus or a car and ride along and have these places pointed out. And it's another thing, really, to just get out and get a map and walk along and stop along the way. And anyone can understand English to have a conversation with him. I think, frankly, you'd be able to get right down to something that the average tourist does not see at all today. Now, the Lord Jesus walked into Jerusalem each day. And now, let me read as I go along. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Now let's look at that for just a moment. There are 2 possible, of course, explanations regarding the colt that Jesus was to ride into Jerusalem. Now, the Lord Jesus could have known about it since he was God and therefore omniscient, and this could have been very miraculous from beginning to end. But all of this could have been arranged beforehand, and it would therefore be entirely human. It doesn't seem necessary to read a miracle in here when the natural explanation is in order. And those of you that were with us in Matthew know that we said that we believe that our Lord had arranged for this beforehand, and I think you'll find greater meaning if you look at it like that. The important feature is that Jesus is asserting his authority. Notice that when they went in and someone asked them, "What are you doing unloosing the coat?" He said, "The Lord hath need of him." The Lord's asserting his authority. Also, while some are plotting his death, it's also revealed that others are yielding allegiance to him, and straightway he'll send him hither. So that there were those obeying him, others were plotting his death. That's been true now for about 1900 years. You have those two classes. Now, they went into the town. They found it just as the Lord Jesus said they would. They went their way, verse 4 now, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye, loosing the colt?" And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Now, you'll notice that they merely follow his instructions and return with the colt. I think that you have something here that reveals that there were those who were his followers that were obeying him even at the time they were plotting his death. And you can only get that here on the human plane, you see.